in sharing their history, getting it documented and sort of in the museum's collection. And it was really successful. And again, we definitely did oral histories. We've got some really great artifacts that came out of that push. And that kind of happened organically. I wasn't at the museum at the time, but that was sort of like the beginnings of it. And since then, there's been different evolutions of working with specific community groups, whether they come forward and say, we're a community, we have something to share, can we share it? The Many Voices Project is a perfect way for that. I mean, we do have other opportunities for really anyone to come forward and be involved with our programs or our community exhibitions call out. But this program I like because it's just always there. It's perennial. It's someone can come forward, an individual can come forward, or a group can come forward. So I guess how we've reached other people in the past, it's been a little bit organic. Sometimes it's been, you know, we also know Chinese Canadian community has been established in Burnaby a long time, but, you know, actually the South Asian community has been established a long time. So why don't we, you know, make a few contacts there? I can't even recall now how exactly that came forward. It might have been a desire on the museum's behalf, with many people very willing to contribute. And the series of oral histories we did during that time actually culminated in an exhibition that was at the museum for 2 years. And so it's kind of, it's happened that way. And I find now, again, that we're this far along. We have a lot of people coming forward now. So it's really, really great to be able to sort of work month in and month out around connecting with these groups. But we also do to what we can on social media, other media such as this, to sort of get the word out. And also we attend community events around Burnaby, you know, Pride and Car Free Day, those kinds of things. So just trying, those are really interesting. We reach a very different group of people when we go out into the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like people are contributing on their own terms, and that kind of relates to another question I had, which was the format of how these contributions are made, you know, like whether, if it's an interview, for example, whether you have like set questions that you ask, or if it's something that someone has a very specific idea in mind of what they want to talk about, and then they just come to you with that, or if it's a mix of both, maybe.
Yeah, it's a mix of both and everything in between. You know, some people, I find some people who hear about the project are just instantly inspired and say, wow, finally, you know, I have a chance. Or more often it's, you know, a friend of a friend who thinks, you know, you have a really great story, you should tell it. Those people sometimes need a little encouragement around, like, well, they'll wonder, well, what is my story? I don't have a story. I've been here for a while. I like it, you know, so it takes a bit of time to talk those out. So in the case of someone that they're not really sure if it's for them, or they're not really sure if they're the right person, I think the way we kind of define it is, if you have a connection to Burnaby and you want to share it and sort of contribute to the historical records in perpetuity, that's more or less the criteria. So if someone's feeling a little bit like they don't know where to start, we usually meet with the person in advance. So sometimes, you know, media interviews is sort of like you're on and you go. But this is, we often will take the time in advance to just sort of meet with the person first and say, well, what, you know, what, who are you? You know, it's just sort of general life story questions. That's generally how it goes. But in the case of, say, a certain community group, sometimes there is a thread, especially if we know this group of interviews will end up in an exhibition. Sometimes when you know as a community you're working towards an exhibition and you're going to be physically on display in the museum as well as online, we have done more structured interviews. You know, we'll always include sort of the life history, but we also include, you know, sometimes more specific things around, say, for example, if the community is known for textiles or a particular art form, or the community is known for being, having come from a war-torn country, like, how much do they want to speak about that? Or are they, as a group, trying to sort of change the narrative that they see in the media or out in the world, that they have the chance to sort of retell it or tell it in a different way or provide a different perspective. So it really depends on the person. I mean, the community collections are nice because it's a really, again, a really deep and rich textured snapshot. But the one-offs are great as well, especially because we've been doing this long enough now that something that comes across as sort of a random happenstance contact is now starting to plug into other stories we have or other collections that we have. So it depends.
Yeah, so it's like a very broad view of Burnaby in a sense. I mean, but both in obviously like the identities that are presented, but then also just in the way that it's presented as well.
Yeah, I mean, currently we're pursuing. So again, we're always pursuing people with a connection to Burnaby, and we're always collecting material for the museum. But at this very moment, we are working with the Armenian community in Burnaby, which has had a cultural center in Burnaby for 50 years, which I hadn't known that previously. And we're also looking for the queer experience in Burnaby. So if there's that one, we know maybe more about Vancouver's queer history, but the Burnaby one is sort of quieter, a little more unknown. So that's been interesting. And also the working waterfront. So Burnaby has Burrard Inlet along the Fraser River, and even Still Creek. They've been industrial areas for about 100 years or so, and so that's kind of a long time. And if you look at the history of like the physical geography or urban geography of Burnaby, it's changed so much in 100 years. But for me, I feel like the physical, the way our waterfronts look and the contributions of industry has really remained relatively stable. Some people might disagree with that, but from sort of an outsider view, from someone who's curious, the physical space and the land use as well has been stable. So we don't know an awful lot about that, but really interested in anyone who's worked on the waterfront, whether it's in along sawmills, logging, energy resources, shipping now. So those are sort of three focuses.
How can people who are interested in just the stories being shared through this access it in the first place?
The easiest way is to go to Heritage Burnaby. You could just Google that phrase and you'll find it. And if you go to our homepage, there's a tile that says Oral History Collection. So you'll get access to our entire what's basically what is available and online and sort of ready to go. So if you want to peruse, you can search by community, you can search by keyword. But the search function is quite good if you know what you're looking for, but it's also not such a huge collection that you could probably just browse, over the few pages. But Heritage Burnaby is the place to go and listen and see what we've done so far.
And right now there's just an active call for more people to contribute, correct?
Yes, there's always an active call, and those three sort of topics I mentioned, we're especially interested, and there's some momentum there. Yes.
Those were the main questions I had regarding the Many Voices project, but if there's anything we didn't touch on that you think is worth mentioning that people should know about, please do.
Yeah, I think I just like, I sort of already said this, but I just like to underscore that this project is, it's contributing to the museum's collection. I think sometimes people think of museums as basements with old things, which is not untrue. But we do more than that. We're always collecting. We're always sort of trying to record and make contributions to the historical record and share those contributions. So I see that project like that, and I think sometimes that's a little harder and more intangible for people to understand. But also just to encourage people to contact me or contact the museum if you have questions, if you're not really sure, if you want to just kind of explore. Like, we interview people that have a connection to Burnaby, so even if you think, oh, I've only been here a year, but I've done all these things and I intend to do these future things. Like, that's a wonderful, that would that works for us. You know, it's I would just invite people to think about their own stories and how they probably are quite relevant to what we're looking at, because we're looking at Burnaby and we're looking at documenting it now for future historians, researchers, and scholars.
Once again, that was our interview with Kate Petrusa, the assistant curator at the Burnaby Village Museum, on the Many Voices project, which has put a call out for more participants to share their experiences living in Burnaby through oral history interviews, which will then be included in the city's historical record for those to access online. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This interview would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca. Once again, you're tuned in to Speak Up only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Let's take one more music break for the hour. This is from another band performing at this upcoming Music Waste fundraiser festival at Green Auto on September 20th. Also, one that is performed here at CJSF for our Studio 6 series, which you can go watch at our YouTube CJSF Radio. Wittico. This is their track by the name of Flow off of their album A Century of Sleep. Hope you enjoy.
Violet and kind, you are my mind. Once again, that was Whitico with Flow. You can listen to them at the next Music Waste fundraiser at September 20th at Green Auto, or through our Studio 6 session with them on our YouTube channel, CJSF Radio. Coming up next, we have an interview that I did a couple weeks ago with a heavy metal choir in Vancouver. Now, some of the information in the interview is a little dated now because it was about their performance that they did at Commercial Drive's Car Free Day last, just a few days prior, September 5th. But regardless, they are still an active choir that are meeting every week and performing in various areas. So I think this is still a relevant piece for y'all to hear something really, really cool happening in the community. Take a listen. Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. If you're walking in the South Granville neighborhood of Vancouver on any given Thursday night, you might hear something that you wouldn't usually expect. Don't worry, there's no cause for concern here. What you're listening to right now is actually the Vancouver Metal Choir. Part of the Pleasant Mountain Music School, the Metal Choir meets every week to practice group renditions of heavy metal songs. We here at CJSF reached out, and we were invited to check out one of these practices. And while we didn't know what to expect, to say the least, we were not disappointed. The person you can hear instructing is Kelsey Luo, a rock and metal musician, music instructor, and session vocalist with a very unique skill set of extreme vocals, aka metal screams. After the class had ended, we spoke with some of the choir members on what first drew them to the idea of a metal choir in the first place.
I waited almost a decade and a half to do actually study or learn extreme vocals, and I'm really glad that there was this opportunity in Vancouver. And I got the randomest Instagram app, and I said, yes, this is me. And I started working with Kelsey, and the metal choir has been the highlight of my week every week since then.
I saw an ad on Reddit for screaming in metal choir, and I always wanted to join a music group where I could sing metal songs and like songs that I listen to. And I've been out of touch with music, so I thought it was a good vibe and a good time to come join. And it's become sort of my therapy session. Every Thursday I come here and scream away my pain and my troubles, and it's a really fun group, and it's just like-minded people just enjoying good music, so it's a great time.
As a defunct theater kid, giving any opportunity to sing again has been the greatest opportunity in my life, and the fact that I get to do a new vocal technique and do some scary-ass noises is super fun.
It can help unleash the, you know, the suppressed anger and the beast and everything that's frowned upon, and it feels like it's such a safe environment, and it's like, oh, it's not only, you know, being able to express myself, but also it's about finding the community and like-minded people. It's been amazing.
I love singing, and I was the one of the recruits by Xenia, because I was looking for a choir, and this seemed like a fun, relaxed one where you can also get to scream.
It's been really cool. I was really hoping to like meet a lot of people who like metal, because a lot of people in my life don't like metal. And so I was like, I need more people who are into the stuff that I'm into. And there's lots of that here.
We also spoke with Kelsey Luo afterwards, who explained how she first started instructing for metal vocals. We also spoke about the choir's first upcoming public performance, at Commercial Drive's Car Free Day on September 5th.
Hello, my name is Kelsey, and I am the extreme vocal and piano instructor at PMM. We started this metal choir program back in January of 2023, and it was an idea that actually the roommate of one of our owners, Sarah, Veronica, she mentioned wanting to join a choir, but strictly for metal, and it's not something that Vancouver had or still has that I know of. So we decided to make that happen. And I was very interested in that idea, and I just thought, oh, you know, I wonder if there's a big enough community in Vancouver for it. And the fact that the first, I think, info session that we had, and there was like 20 people that showed up, I'm like, okay, there is a metal community in Vancouver. And, you know, that was like pretty inspiring to me, and we just kept the program running since.
I guess I'd imagine you come from a metal background, if this is something that you are willing to spearhead in this kind of way. Can you tell me a bit about that?
So I call myself, so this is funny, I don't consider myself a metalhead. I am what some people call a poser. So I'm like, I got into metal from like post-hardcore, like emo, like that kind of stuff. I listen to mostly like metalcore, progressive metalcore bands like that, but I'm obviously into like other kinds of metal and other styles of music. But I got into the style of music when I was 9, when I first heard Evanescence and Linkin Park, and then it branched out to like more emo bands like Taking Back Sunday and Fall Out Boy, and then it was post-hardcore with like Sleeping With Sirens and Pierce the Veil. And then I discovered metalcore when I was about 17, when I first heard of Mice and Men, The Word Alive. And then I discovered Era when they first came out. And at that time, their first album was progressive metalcore. And that's been my favorite genre ever since, because it combines like traditional metalcore with progressive metals, like technical metalcore, and it's melodic. And I've just, you know, been into that music ever since. And I write music similar to that. So that's been my main passion.
And throughout the session, it sounded like you all are working towards something, like a specific event or somewhere where you're performing. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, so our first performance outside is going to be at Car Free Day. And we had this opportunity from Chris, one of our owners, and he's friends with, I think his name is Jeff. He's Chris's barber, and he happens to, I think, run this event. I'm not entirely sure of that. But we got this opportunity, and I think it's between 12 to 1. I'm going to have to confirm with him on that. But yeah, this is going to be our first performance outside of our school. Like, we do like summer and winter recitals, and this is going to be our first one out in the public. So we're pretty excited about that, because this is our first one where we're going to be doing performances without sheet music, and it's going to be like a public-facing performance. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. And especially with this group in particular, like, it's been running for about 4.5 years with this program. I'd say this is the strongest group we've had.
How does one protect their, you know, because you've been doing this for a while, I'd imagine, how does one protect their voice long-term when screaming in that way?
That's a good question. I'd say vocal maintenance is really important, just in general, whether clean vocals or extreme vocals. Generally, when I warm up, I start with clean vocals, and then I go through like various extreme vocal techniques. I do the warm-up separately, and then I go over songs, and I also have a cool-down exercise where I go over buzzing or lip trills. Generally, I try not to practice for over an hour, because you don't want to overuse your voice when you're practicing these techniques, especially like if you're on tour and you're consistently playing shows. But generally, just regular vocal maintenance, like getting enough sleep, eating healthy, not eating spicy foods or a big meal before performances, limiting drinking and, you know, smoking and vaping as well. Just things like that. And also massaging the larynx. That is something that I find definitely helps a lot.
Yeah. How did you decide on the songs that are going to be performed? It seems like a pretty eclectic mix.
Yeah, it's a group effort. We have the 5 songs that we have so far. So Ariel, so this was a song that pretty much everyone knew. Like System of a Down is a classic. Can't go wrong with that. Cannibal from Vola. So that one was chosen by Michaela. So that was a really good choice. And we have, what is it? My Heart Will Go On was chosen by Chris. We have this is Babylon, also chosen by Chris, and Rule of Nine. So that was chosen by a former metal choir attendee, and Spirit Box is also one of my favorite bands, so that was just a solid choice all around. So generally we have like a couple songs that we, like Chris and I, we talked about doing before the sessions, and then we also get our attendees to choose songs as well, and then I usually pick a song during the semester. So it's just a culmination of everyone's choices.
How can people that want to get involved with the metal choir?
Oh, you can sign right up on Pleasant Mountain Music. You can talk to Chris, Sarah, sign up on the website. And yeah, this is a great community. People that have started in this choir, I think two semesters ago, like they're friends now, they're hanging out. We even have the first session of metal choir we ever did. There was a couple that came out of it and they're still going strong. So yeah, check it out.
Awesome. And one last thing. Is there a simple heavy metal technique or method or scream that you can teach the people listening?
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the false core technique, I'd say grunting like a dog is a good start. So let's say your long day of work, you come home, you go, ugh, right? And now you just drop lower into your larynx, engage your diaphragm, ugh, and now you can slide into that false core. You can also close your mouth and do a grunt. So these are all techniques to help you get into that false core placement. When it comes to fry screams, which is another scream technique, so cackling or screeching like a cat is an example that you can use. Meow! So that's a start to the fry screams. Yeah.
That's so awesome. Thank you so much for showing me. Once again, that was the lead instructor of the Vancouver Metal Choir, Kelsey Luo. Thank you again to the Metal Choir and Kelsey Luo for letting me just sit in for that entire session. It was a really great time, and I feel like I learned a lot about metal screams and just the art of screaming in general that I didn't know previously, and hopefully you did too. So, without further ado, we are at the end of this hour of Speak Up. Thank you all so much for tuning in. In just about a couple minutes, we have Democracy Now!, but you won't want to miss all of the other amazing programs we have here today on Speak Up at 12 p.m. We've got Raccoon City, followed up by typically Tuesdays later in the night, Slumber Party and Bitcoover. So just a whole lot of amazing live programming here at CJSF. And you won't want to miss it. All right. Until next week, thank you all so much for tuning in. Before I sign off, I should mention that tomorrow is Intravenous with our public affairs and talk coordinator, Nicole Hines, and then another episode of Speak Up with Jesse, our programming coordinator, on Thursday morning. So make sure you tune in for that.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Stay tuned. Democracy Now! Is coming in just about 10 seconds. You won't want to miss it.